Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
What did I forget?
I thought we go, I'm Kaylee. I'm Bernice. Welcome to Mind Body Stuff.
No, you're wrong.
Is that not right?
No.
Didn't we just do that?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff. Oh.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
This is Mind Body Stuff? No. She's not quite
We've
right.
We spend a lot of time in shelter in place. I've been alone in my house for about 7 days.
You have been alone in your house for about 7 days.
I know. I'm getting a little loopy.
She had surgery, you guys.
I had surgery. I had a giant fatty tumor. I gave birth to a fatty tumor out of my rib cage. I feel that you all should call me Adam.
Oh, my God.
The other day, I'm telling Kaylee, and I'm like, you know, and how Adam gave birth to the woman out of his rib cage. She's like, her name was Eve. Oh, I'm like, yeah, Eve, yeah.
He didn't give birth to her.
Yeah, he birthed her out of his rib cage.
How did he give birth to her? I don't understand.
I don't know.
The
his
story.
Rib came out and she turned into Eve. That's what happened.
We need a Christian to explain this.
Yes,
to us.
We're not.
I'm confused about how that happened.
At least you knew her name.
Yeah, I did. I'm glad you're like that woman. Remember then that woman? Okay.
Wasn't she important in some way? Anyway, I apologize if I'm offending anyone.
You probably are, but that's common these days, so we're used to it now.
Yes, we're good at offense.
Offense.
And defense.
And defense. I'm pretty good at defense.
You're good at defense. That's right. I'm like, yeah, that's a good move. Do it.
I know. You're like, yeah, do it.
I'm like, I like that move.
And then I'm like, oopsies.
Oh, oopsie.
That wasn't right.
She didn't follow through.
Anyways, what are we? Okay, so let's 2020. Go. Why are we on this podcast? What is happening?
And this is episode 1.
Of a new little series that we're doing. It's an end of this shit show of a year series. Oh my God. Her dog, you guys, this massive, massive Great Dane is outside staring at us, pawing at the door.
Trying to get in.
He's such a little baby.
He's a baby.
So anyways, this is our series. This is our opportunity to reflect, to look at the different pillars that give our life meaning, that give our life structure. One of the great things about this year 2020 is reflection. And so we've both personally, I think, been doing a lot of reflecting on what was our life like before COVID? How is it now? How do we want it to be in the future? Are there things that we've let go of that feel like such an enormous relief? Or are there areas of, in our life that have been strengthened or strained? How has that affected our sense of stability and our sense of security and enjoyment and purpose and all those other things? And so we took some time and we both wrote down the main pillars that give meaning to our life. And the first one we want to talk about on this episode is
marriage. What, isn't there a movie where he's all on marriage?
Isn't it that movie that everybody loves about the princess and or the that one? They all love it.
Oh, marriage. Princess Bride.
Yeah, Princess Bride.
I talk about marriage.
Marriage. I know everybody does that voice.
I know, right? When you said it. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
Anyways, it's totally fine.
We're talking about marriage.
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 Noun.
Noun. Marriage.
Why do you think we talk? Why did you want to talk about marriage first?
Well, it seems to be a big. We were talking about what the pillars are in our lives, the things that kind of support us, and marriage is definitely a big one for me, a problematic one. I apologize for that. But it definitely is one that has been affected by the COVID, I feel like.
I love
like.
How you always call it the COVID.
I love saying the COVID.
The COVID.
The
I just,
vid.
I call it the vid.
The vid.
The vid.
It has been affected by the COVID. And because you're with that person so much. I mean,
if you're married.
If you're married, and that's why we're talking about marriage, because I happen to be married and Kaylee happens to be married. Good. If you're not married, we apologize for this because you can just not listen. Because you're like, who gives a fuck? And we understand that totally. But for us, because we are married, it has become a big issue. Whether we like it or we don't like it, Is it working? Is it not working?
Oh my God.
I think about it a lot too. Like, especially I've been alone for 7 days now. So I'm just like, look at him sitting there in his chair. Like all sorts of reflective thoughts, just staring at this poor other wonderful human being. So that's why we decided to talk about marriage.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I also think that I, there's a lot of sounds at this house. I think that's what you get when you have like 16 pets and a massive family that always comes over. I also know that I am a little bit cuckoo crazy, and my marriage brings a lot of stability to my life.
I mean, that. Thank God you have that.
Thank God I have that, man.
Oh yeah.
Jeez. Holy cow! Can you? What do you think I'd be doing if I wasn't married to him?
I don't know. Well, you might be running a restaurant.
Oh, running a restaurant.
I think you would be running a restaurant.
And I couldn't do that married?
Well, because you had all those kids and stuff.
Yeah, but not for a long time. I was married for like many years before I had children.
That's true. But I feel like you're such a good cook.
Remember,
and stuff.
I thought I was infertile.
She's
for so
Eva.
Long.
She's Eva.
She's Eva. She's a beaver. She's an Eva beaver.
She's an eager beaver.
I am.
That's what he said.
That's why he's married to me. That's not true.
Anyway, but either you would be a journalist. You don't even know that you should be, but you should be a journalist.
I love journalism.
You're really good at that, at writing and questions. Not just writing. Like some people are, you know, like I wrote a romance novel about Peter. But you're a journalist.
Peter.
But you're a journalist or you're a good cook.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
I think you're a very good cook. And I think you're not just a good cook because to be a restaurant owner – you have to have a bunch of stuff going on. You have to be organized. You have to have vision. You have to know what your menu's going
to
be.
Seems so stressful to be a restaurant
owner. It's a ton of work, yeah. But you might like that.
Well, I'm OCD, so I get like a six sense of satisfaction, like checking off all my to-do
list. You would love
things.
That, too,
like,
yes.
Look at all the things I prepped today.
Look at all the turnips. Did you buy 7 turnips?
Where the fuck is my turnip?
You would love that.
I would.
How many potatoes?
I like
I
it
said
all
8
amped
pounds.
Up all
oh,
the time.
You would love that.
Hurry. Faster. Table 4.
We're all like.
Table 4.
Cutting stuff up. I got it.
I don't think you would work
I would
me.
Not be You'd working be like, there. Oh. I would drop the food instantly.
Your blood pressure would be
sky high.
Okay. Yeah, anyways, we digress.
But
okay.
That,
so
but why marriage? And you
yeah,
said
marriage.
Mm-hmm. Because you're crazy.
Because I'm slightly crazy, mm-hmm. and they need someone who is like a steady, calm, rational partner.
Yep.
I need that in a partner.
That's
because I can go off on many emotional tangents.
She can.
We've been fighting. Well, I was like when we planned like, oh, we're going to do this podcast on marriage. Like I was super in love when we decided that was.
This was
when,
like 2 weeks ago.
This was like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, let's do it on love, on marriage first. And I was like thinking about all these things. And then, you know, then we get closer to the day and then we just start fighting. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to do this podcast on
I know.
Marriage.
That's why marriage is so fascinating, too.
Holy cow.
This partnership with this human. I don't even know if it's like human nature to do this.
Oh, a partnership?
This one human for 50 years or whatever.
It's a new thing that we did.
It's a totally new thing. Right.
Yeah. I wonder. I think the jury's still out on if it's working.
Wow. It's like, yeah, because some weeks you're like, that's a really great person.
I love that human.
Although I do like, maybe I shouldn't read the Facebook posts, but I'm like.
What Facebook posts?
I just read all of them. And then some people are like, their marriage looks so good.
Oh yeah, but they're not usually.
They're
that.
All hiking in the woods. And they wrote something like, we had a wonderful hike today. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I hiked with Mike. And I don't even like hiking.
Well, and some people just have great marriages. And you also have a great marriage.
My marriage is terrible.
No, it's not. You have a great marriage. You have a great marriage. And your husband is a saint for putting up with your cuckoo shit too. Just so you know.
I am not cuckoo.
You are cuckoo crazy. You go off the rails.
I do go off the rails sometimes.
And he's like. Okay.
Very quiet.
Well, tell me what you need. Okay. I'm listening. He's like so gentle with you.
Yeah, he could be mean.
Well, because you're meaner to him than he is
mean.
To you. That same with me.
Yeah.
It reminds me, though, of that post that I did on Facebook the other day where it was like, I surround myself with powerful women and progressive men. And I think that there's like, I love those types of marriages, though, where the woman is just like a total powerful badass. And the husband is, too. But like also just very like in touch with his feelings and like, you know,
can express them
and is like, can be vulnerable and is still, you know, and I think that's what both Mike and Rob have about them.
They can say like, Mike will say like, what you said really hurt my feelings.
Right. Totally.
Where maybe someone else would just be like, stomp off or,
right.
Or be mad at me for days where he's just like, you know, yeah, he doesn't. You said I was a shit or when you say I'm a ugly slob. He's like,
it hurt
my feelings really bad. And then he looks like his feelings are hurt. Yeah. Which they are hurt. Yeah. Obviously. And I meant it, though. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, okay. So let's back up.
The importance. What?
Let's back up and let's talk about how do you think has COVID affected your marriage?
That is a very good question.
Do you think it has?
Yes.
For the better or for the worse?
Sometimes I think for the better. And sometimes I think for the worse.
But do you think that's any different than a normal day in the life of? You've been married for 30 years.
No, but I feel like I spend more time thinking about it now.
Oh.
Maybe because we're not as busy doing other stuff. Or, you know what I mean? Like, usually we travel. We have a lot of, stuff on our docket.
Yes.
And we can't really travel right now, obviously. I think that's affecting me the most. So then I have to look at him every day. And then my brain, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, my brain just starts like, it starts on this road of like, blah, 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 like negativity and.
Well, I think also though, you read all those romance novels, which is good in one way for the marriage. Now she's got me reading these romance novels and it's really fun and I like it and it's good for the sex life. But also there's like, it's all fantasy. And
right.
So you read these books where it's like the man is like, you know, all he's these like, things.
Let's go for a drive in the park in the cubicle.
I know. I just like, it would be so easy for Mike to make you happy. It's like the dumb little things. Like if he just walked into the house and like presented you like a red rose or something.
Oh my God.
It's like it's like the easiest thing ever.
But he won't.
And
do
then
it.
All the like very challenging stuff that he does do where you like call him an ugly slob and he's like, I love you. I'll try to lose weight for you. You hurt my feelings. Like, he's like the most gentle, sweet soul.
Yeah, he's so, like, today he's doing all the hay for the horses. My horses.
Your horses.
He doesn't want horses. He's never wanted horses. He doesn't even like horses.
And he's out haying them.
He's having to hay them and store all the hay. And part of me's like, why didn't he ask me to go for a walk?
Well, you just had surgery, for one. Yeah, you're not supposed to be walking.
But if he loved me, he would spend time just kind of looking at me, like in the romance novels.
Right.
Just kind of staring at me like, how beautiful she is. And then he would be like, do you want to go for a walk today and share feelings?
And then his member hardened as he watched her cheeks flush and he...
But do you guys feel that too, where it's like, I can't... Well, maybe I read too many romance novels.
You read a lot of romance novels.
I do read a lot of romance. So then I'm just like, you know...
He asked me to waltz.
I feel like...
He signed my card for the waltz. That's a big deal in these romance novels,
you guys. Oh my God, because most people aren't allowed to waltz.
No, you have to get permission from the queen to waltz.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know this.
Oh, that was the 1700s.
Reading these romance novels she got me into.
So...
I'm like, oh my God, she gets to waltz now.
I know, we get so excited.
Who's going to ask her first? And are they going to ask her to the supper dance? Because that's a big deal.
And look how closely he was touching
her. He took her out to the patio. Oh my God. I wonder if he's going to ask for her hand in marriage.
I know.
It's like, that's all it takes. They're like, oh my gosh. And then he took me out to the patio and I just knew it was coming. The offer, the proposal. I'm like,
or the
Jesus.
Kiss. Even just a kiss.
A kiss.
Like a kiss. And then, so maybe that's what I want. I want more romance. But, you know, maybe I should just ask. I have asked for it, of course, but I don't ask very nice.
Yeah, who wants to give it to you when you say it the
Why
way
you fucking
say
give
it?
Me some fucking romance? Like, you're a fucking loser. You never asked me to go for a fucking walk. Look at me. What if you look at me? How about you look in my fucking eyes for like a minute? The poor guy. So,
oh my God, maybe we're just bitches.
We could be bitches. We should write a whole new book. Maybe we're just bitches.
Maybe it's not him. Maybe I'm just a bitch.
Oh, yeah. And then my friends come over and they're all like,
Mike,
he's so
Mike. Nice.
Then I'm like, yeah, because he's talking to you and looking you in the eye.
He talks to you and looks you in the eye.
He does. So cute.
And he calls you B. And you guys, whenever we travel, he writes her like the sweetest text where it's literally like, poetry, or he calls her like my mistress and all this like really sexy romantic stuff.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
And then she just like was the other day, she was like saying something about how, anyways, it doesn't matter. But he's like, oh, you're such a provocateur. And it's just so cute how he talks to you. Anyways.
Play on words. So back to marriage.
Marriage.
So for you, have you noticed any changes?
Well, yes, I feel like I'm much for the okay. I've had a real bad couple of weeks, but before that, I feel like it was way better. Our marriage,
yeah, because you were more present for each other.
Because we're present for each other, and what where we have the most conflict is transitions. Mm-hmm. Transition, getting the kids ready for school is a transition. Where it's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? It's like 5 minutes till we're out the door, and I don't know what he's doing. You know, it's like. Those types of things are stressful for me. The coming and the going and the planning and this. But when you're just like hanging out all the time together, mm-hmm. it doesn't, it's not that stressful for me. Mm-hmm. Also, I would like to say that he and I thrive more in like crises. Like I think we're really good as a, usually, except for this work project that is all messed up right now.
You're doing pretty good with it though.
No, I'll tell you about the fight we had. But anyways, when we're in like a state of crisis, I feel like we're really strong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, yes, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it.
Well,
and
that's so interesting because I'm like, I don't have a crisis.
Oh.
I feel bored.
Oh. Yeah, sure.
I wonder. But that's something to note.
Maybe you're bored.
I am bored.
You're just bored.
I'm bored.
Spice it up.
With what?
I don't know.
I'm all with what? My surgery scar. Enjoy this.
Will you play doctor?
But anyway, I just, that's a side note. Something for people to think about.
Yeah.
I love that.
I just like, okay. So anyways, yeah, I feel like our marriage has gotten, well, we're just around each other more, you know?
Mm-hmm. With the kiddos more too.
With the family. Like, we have so much family time, which feels so good. Oh, like, yeah. I have loved that about COVID. But the other day we got in a big fight because this project with the new studio is so crazy. Like everything is falling apart and then kind of coming back together and then shifting and changing. And I just like let into him the other. Is that how you say it? Let.
No, you let into him.
I don't know.
What are you?
Like, I gave it to him.
I let into him.
Maybe and that I just is was it. Like critiquing every single thing. And like, and then he's like, he literally stood there and he's like, is there anything else you need to get out? And I was like, yeah, you need a haircut and you need to change deodorant. And I just like was going off and he's like, okay, well, it sounds like that you need to just get this out. And I was just like pissed. And then at the end of the conversation, he was like, I love you.
Aww.
I'm like, how can you do that? How can you like just be such a good person?
Yeah.
And just be so like.
I'd be all like. Fuck you.
Me too. But he was like, I love you. I know that this is stressful for you.
Oh, because he knows you.
I know he knows
me. And he knows that reaction. Like if you had just done that when you were first dating.
Well.
That probably wouldn't have worked as well. Right. You know what I mean? But over time, hopefully as you grow a union, the person gets to know you better and they know like, oh,
this is what she needs to do. She's got to just let it all go. And then he was right. Then I felt better.
And then you had the release. Yeah. And then you felt better. Then you're like, okay.
And I was like, wow, I was just really mean for like 20 minutes. And I
had a lot of resentment and anger kind of built up.
And he just was like, get it out. Just get it all out.
Yeah, that's good.
So anyways, that was nice. So how, like, do you think your marriage in a long term, because you've been in you've been in a long term relationship.
Yeah.
Married 30 years.
30 freaking years.
30 years. So like, how would you say, do you think that you guys, like COVID aside, do you think that your marriage is like better, worse, different than when you guys, like in the first maybe 5-10 years?
Well, that's a good question. Mike made a joke this morning because he's like, well, what are you guys talking about? And I said marriage. And he was like, he laughed. He was like, oh, you're going to say this. You're going to say it's very, 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 very hard. He's like, that's what you're going to say. And I used to, like, I guess like about in my 40s, my late 30s and early 40s, he would hear me talking to people. And he was like, you're always like, it's a big challenge. Like, I hope you can do it. He's like, you would just be so like, good luck.
Oh my God. And, that's so funny.
And I think, and I, you know how time is like, you can't remember stuff. Yeah, like I can't really, like, I totally remember like falling in love with him and, you know, just like couldn't wait to marry him. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he's like a god. And my sister at like one of
he was a god. He was whoa. Like, I he was like, so oh my attractive.
God, a god has fallen in love with me.
He was so attractive.
I was like, my ship has come in.
Well, you were also a goddess.
Well, I, you know, you don't feel like you're a goddess if you are. But,
holy
you know,
cow, the two of you.
I was like, oh my God, a god has come in the room and chosen me. He didn't really choose me either, but we already know that story.
She chose him.
I chose him.
That's fine.
And my sister made a joke, of course, because I was like, he is a god. And then she was like at the wedding breakfast or before, whatever you do, the rehearsal dinner. And my sister's like, but you know he's a park ranger. And I'm like, yeah. I was all, yeah. And yeah. She was like, how much money do they make? And I'm like, I don't know. And she totally was trying to burst my bubble.
Oh,
like,
she was at your wedding?
Yeah. She was just trying weird. To like, she's like, I'm just being a realist.
Is she
for
still
you.
Married?
She's still married. Yeah. Is that guy happy? Is a freaking saint. She seems to really like it. They like oh, each other good. Now. They're old.
Yeah.
And that gives me hope because they went through a really tough time. One that had their kids was really tough. And then when the kids started to grow up, they also had another tough time, and the husband told her he didn't love her anymore.
Oh, yikes.
And they went into therapy.
But he loves her now?
Loves her now. They, like, touch Worked each other. Out. The kids are all grown up. The kids are in their 30s. They're, like, you know, like, sit to dinner, and then they'll be talking, and then she'll kind of rub his back, and then he'll rub hers. Ooh, and I'm good. Like, how cute is that? Oh, I'm good. Like, why doesn't Mike rub my back?
He does.
Barely.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I'm going through a hard spot.
It sounds like it.
But the thing about marriage, though, is how quickly it can change.
It changes immediately.
Like, when we were talking 2 weeks ago, I also was like, Mike's like a really good guy.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, he's a dumbass slob, okay? So if any of you dumbasses want to marry him, you can. But good luck.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know
so
if you guys
lame.
Feel that way, too, with your marriages. But 30 years... And you go through so many transitions, like you get married and then you're young and right. then you reproduce. If you want to, we chose to reproduce.
Or if you can.
If you can. Or you can adopt or whatever. Have children. And then you, if you want to have children for that time period, and that's a big transition. And now we're on our last kid who's 14, an eighth grader. And so now I'm like, of course, I'm always two steps too far ahead. Like, I'm like, what will it be like in 6 years? And he's like, what is it like right now?
Right.
But I can't stop thinking like, there's no plan.
Right.
We have no plan for 6 years from now. And today he calls me the ultimatum lady because I'm always like, we never seem to get to a resolution of any kind. He's all, first of all, that's an ultimatum, which I think I do in most of my relationships. I'm kind of like ultimatum, like where it's like, she made a joke about you. And I'm like, I guess we're not friends anymore.
I fucking hate her.
The ultimatum lady comes out. And so, but now we're in that transition. So I'm like, how do I plan for that? And he wants to be in the moment, which is probably a good
Yeah, it's choice. Good. It's better.
And it's probably good. That we have a balance of personality structure there.
I think the balance is very important.
Because if we had two people that were like, what's the plan in 6 years? Then you're not even paying attention to what you're doing right now.
Right.
So right. Anyway. Right.
Yeah. The other day when I was – maybe it was yesterday. I was on a FaceTime call with you and Julie, and Rob was in the other room. And I was like, it's just been really hard. There's been a lot of fights and tears these last couple of days as we're like trying to make some big decisions on this big project. And – Rob, when I was finished with the phone call, he's like, I heard that you say that we've been fighting and it hasn't been good. He's like, is that really how you feel? I'm Aww. Like, yeah, it fucking is how I feel. We've been fighting.
But it's not how he feels.
It's not how he feels. He's like, I don't think it's been that bad. I'm like, of course, you never think anything is bad. Well, you're like Mr. Do. Optimism.
They never think it's bad. Like, I'm like, I could walk out tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to pay attention. But
totally.
But I don't know if it has to be like cataclysmic to be bad.
I don't know. They're
or
just
are
like,
we always thinking that it's bad?
Why do we do that?
I don't know.
It's like this protection device.
We're
for me.
Ready. I'm
We're
like,
ready.
Ready.
Like this will not catch me off guard. I'll be ready for this.
Ready to go. At any
time. I don't know what my job will be.
I don't know. I know. I was like, so what would I do then now?
No, I'm like, I would have to get a real job.
And I would still have to figure out like, what makes me happy. Like I keep looking to him, you know, kind of like, and then we should go for a walk. Why doesn't he ask me for a walk? I'm like, well, why? Then my thought, why don't I just go for a walk?
Yeah, sure.
Like, why do I have to keep waiting for the
I don't
person?
Get this about you. Why don't you ever fucking go for a walk?
I don't go for a walk.
It's so nice. It's like what if I get lost? To do. You're not going to get lost.
I kind of want to go up that hill over there, but I don't know how to get up there and down.
Oh my God. You are so funny. I will show you.
You'll show me how to go up the hill and down the hill.
Oof. You can do it. You can do that. You can go up that hill and down that hill.
I think that's what I'm learning about my marriage right now is that maybe I just need to not depend on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because the COVID has made me more dependent, maybe.
Oh. I don't know. You've always been this way.
Have I always? I'm like, it's made me more dependent.
I was like, because this, I just feel like everything we're doing right now feels so complicated. There's like so many moving pieces to every single aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want a simple life. Why can't we just have a nice small house, work 9-to-5 jobs? I want a simple life. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, says the lady who used to travel 10 times a year for work. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, have you ever known me to be a 9-to-5 kind of person? And I was like, oh.
No.
Oopsies.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, no.
But why do you think you want, like, why is that appealing?
Because
it seems simpler.
It seems simple because I don't want, like, I mean, that poor man wakes up at like 4:30 in the morning to work and then he stays up all, like, he's constantly on his computer. And then I was like, it's so unattractive to be with someone who's just staring at a computer screen for their whole life. Like, I was just so mean. He just is doing so many things. He has so many jobs.
Right.
And they're all like really complicated. I'm like, why don't you just go work somewhere from 9-to-5? And then you come home and you don't have to think about your work anymore.
Right.
But that's just not who he is.
No, and we don't have jobs like that.
I don't. You don't. Mike doesn't. Rob doesn't. That's not how we are.
No, that's not how we are. I don't know. And I think that I would like that. I was thinking about that this week too.
I want to be a barista.
Oh, you would be such a good barista.
I would like to do that. Like, I actually want to go work in the juice bar when it opens.
Oh, the juice bar. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I would love to work there.
Oh, you would, and you could see all the people.
I'm such a good worker.
And you're good
with people. I'm so fast, and I'm efficient.
Yeah, not like where we went and got coffee the other day.
And one of the things that I'm really good at, which is a bad quality, well, which is hard to be around me, is I'm very good about seeing what is lacking or missing.
Yes, she is very good at that. That's like her gift.
So, but it makes it hard to be around me because I can constantly see like, oh, look, that wasn't put away correctly or this is,
or the towel's not right or
there are no spoons left in the thing.
The mixer
like,
thing.
I just can't, that's like, I'm really good at finding all those little things. I get like, it's like playing a video game. I'm like, boom, there's one, there's that. Da, 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 da.
Well, and our job is kind of amorphous.
Yeah.
You know, it feels so big that it's almost like it doesn't feel like, like at a barista's like, and then I made your coffee.
And then when my shift is over, I'm done making coffee.
And you did a good job.
Yeah.
Because you like, I made all the coffee. Everyone liked it.
Yeah.
I feel like our job is like, did I do a good job today?
I don't know.
Did I not do a good job? And did I follow up with so-and-so or did I not? And how was my follow up with them?
Right.
You know, like it's not as tangible.
Right.
That the humans love tangible stuff. But do we? Because we don't choose jobs like that.
And I honestly fantasize about retirement. Is that weird? Why would I fantasize about like when my life is basically
over?
Not over. Well, I don't want to say
that.
Over.
That's a terrible thing to say.
It's a terrible thing to say. Well, like, you know.
No, I guess
I'm like, because then I'm like, why? What do I want to do? Just sit around my house all day? Like, do I want?
Well, and what would you do?
What would I do? I'm like, I would travel the world. I'm like, but would I realistically, like, let's say I have kids and grandkids around. Like, would I actually want to be like, well, everyone, I'll be in England for the next 6 months. I'll see you later.
But you'd have them all come over and visit.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Actually, people have jobs. I've known, I figured this out about the older kids. Like, I'm like, and then I rented a house at the beach. And they're all like.
We work.
We have jobs. I'm like, oh, right, a job, right. I'm like, but you can work remotely, but a lot of them can't. You know, they're like,
one's a nurse. Yeah.
One's running the rafting company. So now there's all the closing up of the rafting company. The other two are looking for jobs. You can't leave in the middle of looking for a job.
Right, totally.
So it is that weird. But I know exactly what you're feeling because my son and daughter-in-law came over the other night and then she was like, oh, we had dinner with my aunt and her husband, my aunt and uncle. I'm like, oh, how fun. And she was like, I'm like, what are they doing? And she's like, they're retired. I'm like, they're retired? I'm like, how old is your aunt? And she's like, 56. I'm like, your aunt is 56 and she's retired? And then she must have seen my face. She's like, actually, she works remotely. Her husband, who's 10 years older, is retired. But I was just like, where are they going?
But it was. Were you jealous?
No, it was so sort of jealous.
Or were you like,
I was jealous. Like, I'm like, she's what?
Oh, that is so funny.
But is that funny? You know, it's always like the forbidden fruit, like always wanting the thing you don't have.
Right. Or the grass is greener.
The grass is greener. That's better than the forbidden fruit.
I know. I'm like, doesn't seem so forbidden to be retired. That naughty, naughty retirement.
She finally got it, that forbidden fruit. Oh my God.
Do you think that going back to marriage, do you think at the beginning of your marriage, you had to kind of break each other in? Because we were so, so argumentative. Like, all of our friends called us the Bickersons because we just fought all the time because I feel like we're both dominant. Like, I'm more dominant than he is in my personality type, but he also wants things a certain way.
He's stubborn.
He's super stubborn.
Yeah, he's a little bit like me.
And he's like you, where you guys are both Leos and you have this pride thing. So if I want to like start a fight with him, I'll just tell him, like, I'll basically tell him he didn't do a good job.
I hate that.
You guys both hate it. If you think that you didn't do something right, then it's like such a bruise to your ego.
It's a total like,
and so I'll just be like, you know. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Which is a problem for taking critique and criticism, by the way. It is
a bit of a problem.
Mike, we talked about that the other day.
You and Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't take criticism?
He's like, you can't take criticism. He's like, you immediately, even if someone makes a joke about criticizing you.
Oh, you don't like
it. You immediately store it. Like, you're totally right. Well, she doesn't appreciate or he doesn't like this.
Totally.
So I remember it. But he says it's because I didn't play team sports.
Oh, right. I remember you saying that.
But I don't know if that's true. It might just be a personality type.
I think it's just you. Yeah, because Rob played team sports.
And he still doesn't like it.
But you guys are both really intelligent, too. So I think it's like telling like a baker that you don't like their bread.
Yes,
this is what I am very intelligent.
I've worked
and
really
I'm very
hard
good at doing this stuff. So don't like, you know.
That's a very, very good point.
I think you just don't like that. But so I always, that's like the little jab.
And that's how you get him going.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, you're smart.
Well, it's not smart. I mean, it's whatever. But at the beginning of our marriage, we were a lot less happy than we are now, I would say.
At the beginning of our marriage. I think I was very different than I was hiding who I was.
that's nice.
That's strange. But I was hiding who I was. So I was trying to be more like, the dog is like, what are you doing with my dog? Giant Great Dane is like, I want to shoot him. If I could, I would. Okay? And I'm sorry for all the animal lovers out there. But
you are also an animal lover. You have like 16 of them.
I do love them, but he's just like obsessed.
He's just like standing
with
the door and like pawing it.
And breaking it.
Massive. He could break the door down if he tried.
He could break the door down, and he has.
And
a
he's
few
just
times.
Staring at us.
Yeah, and it's upsetting.
But he and I really like each other. He's probably
he loves you. He put his head on your shoulder.
Oh yeah, he.
Remember
loves
when we
me.
Drove up to the lake?
He loves me. I love him too.
Yeah, look at him. He's Dukers. Like, I just want to touch her.
And when we sleep in bed together. Dookie.
Anyway. What were we talking about?
Dog. We were talking about at the beginning. Oh, you were pretending you were someone that you're not.
Oh, so I was pretending I was more mellow.
And uh-huh. Laid
more
back.
More laid back and kind of like.
Yeah, I love rock climbing.
I love oh my God, camping is so fun. And all that. I tried to just win him over. I'm not sure what that's about. And I did. I did win him over.
You tricked him.
I tricked him. He did see a few times. One time we went camping in Maine before we got married and it rained the entire time. And I was like, this place sucks. I was like screaming in the tent and he was like, whoa, it's just raining outside. What are we going to do here? We've seen a few little minor flashes of it. But then when we got married, I slowly started to reveal my grumpy side. But we had kids and stuff. That was a difficult time. That was a difficult time.
Oh, yeah. You had a hard time.
I had a hard time because I had, what's it called? Not PTSD.
No, you had postpartum depression.
Postpartum depression. I'm all and PTSD.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Poor JoJo. I apologize. But I did have bad postpartum depression and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you know what? That did make us stronger.
Yeah.
So we didn't, I feel like we went through a big fire after the kids.
Yeah.
And then we got stronger.
That's why I feel like in crisis, like we really come together.
Yeah.
It doesn't drive us apart.
Because he had to deal with someone who was, I was agoraphobic. I couldn't leave the house. So he's just like, do you need me to go to the grocery store, which was two blocks away?
Yeah. And you did.
And I'm like, yeah, you, and he did. He could have left me then. You know, he could have left.
Been like, this is too much. This
I'm not
is crazy.
Dealing
like,
with this human.
Right.
But we got stronger. And I feel like, you know, we're stronger now. But he totally is bothering me right now.
Well, I'm sure tomorrow will be different.
Tomorrow might be different. And I did have surgery 7 days ago.
And you can't. Well, you could go for walks. Would you?
I could go for a short walk around
you
the
could,
neighborhood.
Like, don't do a hill. But you could do a little walk.
I could do a walk around the block. It could do that easily.
Right.
Which maybe I'll do that.
Just yes.
The other thing then is what we're talking about is how to help your mood so you're not in a bad mood with your partner.
Right.
How to help your mood. Because I think the COVID has made me less creative.
The COVID has made you less creative.
With what to do with my free time.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because before I'd be like, let's go have a drink. Or let's go do a class. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I had more stuff in my pockets to pull from.
Yeah.
Right now I'm like,
I don't know. I guess I'll look at you.
I'll look at you for a while.
Shall we do a puzzle?
Do you want to do cards? I did this morning to Mike. He was like, uh-oh. And I'm like, you want to play some cards? He's like, I'm glad you're doing the podcast today. I'm like, oh, you don't want to play cards, I guess. He was like, I'll come back and play cards later. But maybe I have less tools in my pocket to deal with this whole situation where I normally alleviate my moods a little bit better.
Totally. I agree. I think a lot of people are feeling that way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I can't just like, let's go shopping.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are still going shopping, but I don't just mindlessly go shopping really anymore.
I have to kind of, I plan it and it's like a week in it. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get these three things I really want. But it wasn't like,
I'll just wander aimlessly through this store.
I'll get some kid socks and here's some shorts over here. Oh, here's some flip-flops.
But I think that this is really helping us like figure out like, man, we are just mindless consumers.
We are mindless consumers.
It's just so, who shared that article? Oh, our friend shared the article on like, it was from somebody in South America, like an indigenous tribe. And they were like,
you
guys are literally killing life on this planet with your Western
consumerism.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. And I was actually really hopeful at the beginning of COVID that we were going to make some lasting changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that there was like a lot of like, whoa, I actually don't need to do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And whoa, I don't need to spend a bunch. I don't need to, you know, buy all this shit, whatever. And so I was actually feeling kind of hopeful that we were going to make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that happened, you know? And then you see every single person has now made masks, which is great. We all have to wear masks. But it's like, it's just mass production.
Yeah, we have like thousands and thousands and millions of masks.
Oh, every single person.
Everyone's selling masks.
It's like, we're just producing shit so people will buy it.
Yes, yeah. That's
exactly right. It just like makes me like, ugh, barf.
And so it is good to sort of see, you know, what are the things that you're doing to alleviate your stress?
Yeah, a lot of people buy shit.
A lot of people do online. I've been doing more online shopping too. So for a while I paused on shopping.
Yeah. And
now,
then you shop online.
Now I shop online because it pops up on my feed and I'm like, I would love those.
Well, they make it so easy. It's like two-click purchase and you just go on the side of your phone and it's like, there you go.
Oh my God.
You
so easy.
It.
They make it so easy for the consumer, don't they?
Oh yeah. But it's like, when are we going to learn this?
Well, it's because we're under stress. And so under stress, then we're like, you know, how do I balance out my stress? And for me, maybe I should go for a walk.
Yeah, you should.
Like, let's do simple things.
You should go
for a walk. It's a beautiful day. It's not really, it's rainy, but it's still pretty. I mean, It is a pretty fall day.
We go for a walk every day in my house.
Yeah, every time I call her, she's like, we're on a walk. I'm like, on a walk? Okay.
Oh, yeah, family walk every morning. Well, it's a little harder now that school's back in session, but we
kids are home.
Or we'll do it in the afternoon if we don't have time school. In the morning. Every day I walk.
Yeah. Always. I think that's smart. And it's good for your brain, I think.
Oh, it totally changes the way you feel.
Clear the stuff out of it, the cobwebs.
I've been going on 1 mile runs.
Ew.
I know. I feel kind of weird saying that.
That's good, though. I mean, just running around the park?
I run around my park. I live right on a park. I don't like to go on a run because I don't like running. And so then if I go on a run, then I'm like, oh, my God, I have to go all this way back. I went this way, and now I have to go all the way back. Right. Like, that that's freaks me worst. Out a little bit. So I just do 4 laps around my park. It's a mile. I can see my house at any moment. I could go home at any moment if I needed
to. That's a good idea. So dealing with your own anxiety about it.
Totally. And I know that I can do a mile in like 10 minutes easily. So I'm like, it's 10 minutes. That's nothing. Weirdo. Yeah, like, just go do it. It takes 10 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
And then I actually do feel way better.
Yeah, because you release a few endorphins too.
Yeah, I got some fresh air.
Yeah, that and fresh
air. And I got away from everybody. I need to be alone.
Oh, yeah.
I have to take some alone time. So it kind of checks a lot of boxes.
So I think how to survive marriage is the next topic. No, just kidding. Yeah.
How will we survive this?
But it is like, you know, for me, I'm being put, I think in the last week, because I have been confined.
Yes.
I've been putting too much weight on my marriage.
Yeah, you put too much pressure on it for your like sense of happiness.
Exactly. Like, why don't I feel happy now?
Right.
Because he's watching the TV and not looking at me.
Right.
But it's like, hey, B, you know, you are responsible for your own happiness.
Do you think Mike loves himself more than you love yourself?
Yes.
I think Rob loves himself more than I. And definitely. I think that's a little bit why they're more like stable and not so affected by us, because they love us, obviously, and they're very committed to us, but they also haven't put all of their eggs in our baskets.
Yes.
You know, so it's like you can be doing something really fucking obnoxious, but he doesn't really even care or notice because he's doing something that probably brings him self-fulfillment.
Joy. Yes.
And so he's like, she can do whatever she wants.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Doesn't affect me right now.
Yeah, totally. Like, they really like themselves.
I think they really like themselves.
Oh, yeah. Even today, like, I was talking to him and I wanted to say something mean, like, do you never not like yourself? Like, because I'm like, don't you, you know, you're not really exploring who you are. You know,
right.
And for me, I make the mistake of like exploring has to be negative. It doesn't have to be negative, my friend. You know?
Yeah.
And he is a happy.
Right.
So he's not, he's like, well, I almost said it and I stopped myself from saying it because I knew the answer is like, the dude is happy.
What is the purpose of doing that type of work when you already feel like happy? You've got like, you know, fulfilled. You're not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
I know. That's how I feel with Rob too. I'm like, why don't you ever want to have these types of conversations with me about, you know? Work. Yeah. And he's like, I mean, we can. I'm like, what do you think about it? Like, what do you know? This is like the stuff that I think about. And he just doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about it.
No. And I feel like they're more productive.
Oh, way more.
Because they're not spending all that time kind of like in self-reflection or like,
yeah.
What do you think that meant? You know, to me, I'm all like, what does that mean? And then if that means this.
Then I'm going to track it back to that time last spring when this happened.
When this happened. And obviously, you're not a very happy person. And then I'm like, and then what do you want to do about it? And then,
yeah,
I have this whole conversation. It's like, nothing. I want to do nothing about it. You know, or it's like, you're so fucked up. You know, no one's going to like you. Versus like, hey, babe, the human is happy.
The human is happy.
That human is happy. So he doesn't need to be doing this stuff. And in fact, maybe you could learn something about how to just be at peace with yourself.
Right.
You know.
Totally.
So that just hit me. The one thing about partnership and marriage in the our time right now is that it does give you some reflection of yourself.
It absolutely does.
Because totally if I was alone, I could do all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, I know. I know, right? Me too.
Versus looking at the other human who's just like, I'm like, oh, that's a balanced person.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Whoa.
Totally. No, you know? I agree with that for sure. I'm looking at your notes. You have some interesting notes. Are any of them relevant to our conversation right now?
The one thing I read in psychology today was I thought this was interesting. Becoming a spouse tends to change one's personality.
Yeah.
So, of course, I guess we maybe know that inherently, but just to read it kind of struck me. And they said, especially in the early years of marriage, I don't know where their research came from, but so just take it with a grain of salt. But they said men tend to get more conscientious and introverted, and women tend to become more emotionally stable.
Yeah.
Especially in the first years of marriage. I'm sure that probably wears off 10, 20 years down the road.
Well, so going back to these romance novels.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
So, Bernice, we've traveled a lot together in the past however many years. And I feel like every single time you get on a plane and every night before you go to bed, you read a few pages out of one of these like Regency romance novels where it's, you know, set in the 17, 1800s. It's all about like the aristocrats going to London for the season to the marriage mart, and it's all the dances and the, you know, all that stuff. And so often the storyline is, you know, they're making marriage matches. And I feel like there's just something, if we talk about like generational trauma, we can even talk about probably generational programming. Mm-hmm. There's probably something inside of females that feel this like sense of like, I need to get married and I need to, you know, like check that off. Like,
yes.
And so I think that maybe the whole emotional stability is like, oh, okay, I got that one. I did that.
That's a
and
good
so
point.
I can just stop being so like crazy about
and looking for a partner. Like I felt like I was like looking, like, are you my partner? Are you my partner? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that makes sense. And then with the men being more introverted, B and I were just laughing before we recorded this. And we were saying how, yeah, it's probably because like before they're married, they're like hanging out with their friends. And now it's like the wife's like, and this weekend we're going to be decorating the porch and you'll be fixing the fence.
That's exactly right. Right. That's
I mean, this is very stereotypical, very clearly.
Right. And a part of our sort of patriarchal society that right. we live in, which right. we have to recognize. That's my Great Dane. He got in the house.
He's got inside?
He got inside up on the middle floor. He opened that door.
Oh my God.
We opened the middle floor door. But look at Teddy. So her dog is waiting.
What is he barking about then if he's already inside?
He's barking about someone outside.
Oh my God. Poor Teddy bear. Teddy's just sitting there like, I don't know what's happening.
Hey.
Well, in this week, we are going to have one episode about women's empowerment and why that's so important to us. But I think Bernice and I, she's dealing with her naughty dog. I think Bernice and I both are going to need to talk about the fact that although we very much stand for women's empowerment and equal rights, we live a lifestyle that is actually pretty patriarchal.
Yes.
Like very clearly defined gender roles.
Yes.
You know, like
traditional gender roles.
I think
I
you
would
and
say.
I both tried to find a partner before we tried to find our own purpose. Like I think there's something about that. That is interesting.
Yes, and that kind of gets in my way of still finding my purpose, I think.
Oh, uh-huh.
Sometimes because it's like I spent so much time finding a partner
right.
that I lost my, I didn't even think about finding a purpose.
Right.
Like I got confused that the purpose was partner.
Right.
And now I'm like, but are you doing your purpose? And I'm like, well, I did my purpose. I got my partner.
And we have this family.
And we have this family, but it's still not totally fulfilling. You know what I mean?
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Choking sound.
So I think it's
But
really,
you're doing lots of – you have both, though.
I have both. I do have both. And, again, it's just my –
But it's just not enough.
Well,
it's not enough for you.
Underlying unhappiness, I like to just dig in and gouge out a little bit versus just being like, hey, babe, be freaking happy for once.
Right.
Right? Or, you know, be happy in your home. Don't make it like it has to be like, we're on a sunset cruise in the Mediterranean and suddenly I feel happy. You know, it's all kind of built up in this sort of unrealistic sense of like, just be happy, hon. It's okay.
I do know that the more anxious and stressed out I feel, the more neurotic I get about like my home.
Yeah.
And like the things that I can control. And then that's when I become a huge pain to live with. Like, so I do know that there's something inside of me that drives my whole family's unhappiness when I go down that road.
Yes.
Where I'm like, I just cleaned this house, you know, because it's like something inside of me feels so out of control that like having a clean house is the only way that I can feel like I have some sense of like control.
Oh, yes. That's such a good point.
And then my whole family's like, Rob's like, babe, we live here.
Yeah. Humans are living here.
We live here.
When humans live in a place, they make it messy.
I know. I'm like, but I can never keep it clean. I can never get this house clean and keep it clean. He's like, yeah, because people live here.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, oh God, can't like, like, I need someone to help every single day.
Something magical. Like you have like, you're like Cinderella or whatever. And you shake your, you know, twitch your nose. I was bewitched. And then the room is all like fixed.
Didn't it? I know. Wouldn't that be a superpower?
But I do agree with what you said, that when we talk about women's empowerment, that will have to be a big piece of it.
We are going to have to address that.
Because we are definitely big parts of a patriarchal society.
Yeah, and I think we find comfort in our patriarchal roles.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I look to my husband to see if I'm in a, you know, could you put me in a good mood?
Right.
That's not his job.
Right.
I mean,
but even that, like, but even, yes, I mean, that's patriarchy too, but like, you know, it'd be different if I feel like I was like this career woman and I had, you know, like, chosen a different route, then I'm going to find my boyfriend at 20 and get married at 24 and la, 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 you know, and I'll take his last name and we're going to share a bank account. You know, like I did all of the things.
Right. You checked them off.
I did all of the things.
Because we already knew the romance novel before it happened. I mean, someone had already told us it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that it felt safe.
It felt safe and like I was doing the right thing.
And it is, and there's another part of me that's like, yeah, but it is actually what I want too.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what we fight for, is that you get to have the life that you want.
Right.
Not the life that is chosen for you.
And raise our daughters so that they really can make a choice.
I know. It's really weird how my daughters always like, they already love like princesses and like the bull, like talking
and
about,
babies.
Oh, who are you going to marry? And like, oh, you know, like even the songs, like some of the songs that we listen to.
A whole new world.
No, not right. Like kids music, like Ula music or whatever. And then there's this cute song by Ben Platt. It's called Share Your Address. And he's like basically like singing, you know, maybe it's crazy, but I love, you know, like I want to share your address and da 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 da. And there's one line where he's like, he's like, I may sound creepy because it's so early, whatever. And Huxley, who's 6, was like, he's not creepy. He's just in love. And I'm like, oh my God, Hux. Like, it was like the greatest thing ever. Like, I don't know. It's interesting to figure out how to see what they're – without being, I don't think, guided. I mean, maybe I'm like guiding them in some way. But without being intentionally guided towards like, oh, love and marriage and children.
Yeah.
That they – at least my children are – like seem like that's what they're interested in their future.
Right.
Which I'm like, how did that happen?
I don't know. It's like a cultural indoctrination.
And not everyone is like that, I know, but I'm like, geez. And then, you know, I don't know. It's just fascinating to me.
I always made Joe read the book Little Women.
Oh yeah.
You know, and there's that one woman, Joe, the character.
Yeah.
Who's just I named her after her. Yeah. And that was like profound when I read that book.
Oh really?
Because it was all about her kind of being like, no, I want to write a book and I want to be a writer. I don't want to have a partner.
Right.
And I remember thinking like, that's a huge mistake. Like, oh. But it was profound. This is a book written like 150 years ago.
Right.
Hello. But I must have done something weird because that book totally affected her. You know, she was just all, that's right. And I'm like, you're Joe.
Yeah, you're
Joe. And
she's
like, I'm Joe. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to be like, you know, but she still got married. She still had, you know, she has a kid. She is maybe more independent than me.
Uh-huh.
But she still isn't. I mean, I don't know. Like, she didn't really pick a career. I'm all like, uh-oh.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that matters, though.
But
I
my
think
sons
it's just
didn't
the
either.
Chili.
Really. My
it's
sons like, weren't like, you know how sometimes you have a kid that's all like, and I'm going to be a pilot or something.
Yeah.
And I always wanted one kid that was like, I'm like, don't you want to be a doctor, a pilot, or an attorney, or a writer, an artist, you know, something, some burning desire in your soul. And they were all like, no.
They all work for the family business, though.
And they were all just like, I just want to be with my friends and go to school. And, you know, but none of them were like
driven by some like deep purpose.
Yeah. I always wanted a kid like that. But that's okay. I shouldn't make judgments about that either.
It's all very interesting.
They seem happy. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Do you have a kid with purpose? Do you have some kid with purpose? Like, what did you do?
I know. I'm like, how'd you guys do that? Because right now, all my kids talk about is falling in love.
My son's married. Like, I'm like, maybe uh-oh. I could play in the NBA. I'm like, I don't think so.
Don't. You're like, I will crush your dream.
You can dream on, baby, but it's not going to happen to you. But now I still got one left. So if you have any secrets, tell us them.
Well, I don't know. That I don't know if there was any.
Anything
I don't know if
profound?
We stayed to the outline either. Mm-mm. Poor Rob. Poor Mike.
Poor Mike. We love them. They are very nice people.
Oh, they're the only ones who could tolerate us. Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts.
Bless them.
Oh.
Okay, well, let us know how you're feeling, where you're at, what's going on in your world. For those of you who we know, we miss you so much.
So much.
Until next time.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Adieu.